Do you want me to press it for you? So don't
do it. Oh, yeah, I just put October.
Oh, never mind.
Getting the time changed. Boy. I don't want to go back there.
Oh, I'm on.
Yes, you're on.
This is collected. Oh, I had a sound effect.
Fire alarm.
This is collective bargaining with the University of Central Florida Board of Trustees and the United Faculty of Florida chapter at the University of Central Florida. It is December 12th, 2019. And I have minutes from the November 12th, 2019 session for us to review. I'm a little slow on the distribution.
We did okay. There's only two people missing.
Okay.
Yeah,
looks good to us.
All right, good. Then the session minutes from November 12th, 2019 are adopted. All right. So,
all right, I can go through the bare bones of it, and then we can talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Oh, let me hand them out. You can hand them out.
This is in my job description.
Other duties as assigned.
Yeah, I had to go to Las Vegas and watch the croupiers pass out cards to see how to do it correctly.
And you call it professional development.
Yeah, there you go.
Did you use a different font because of what's been saying? They've been saying about using sans serif for people with eye issues.
No, I use this because I have eye issues.
I have eye issues too. So when I saw it, I was like, "This is fantastic."
My fading eyesight.
Yes. So, and this is Calibre 14-point type.
Ah, nice. I like that.
Because when I'm looking on the screen, I need a bigger font.
This is, just to clarify, this is marked up from your previous proposal or from the original staff code?
No, I'm getting ready to explain that. It's okay. So after you guys defaulted back to the status quo, I decided, okay, I'll do the same thing.
Okay.
So I think we captured, I've got your version here, but I think we took a lot of your language. The definitions, I think, is pretty much the same thing. And I think we added something and or dramatic.
Okay.
E.g. Mm-hmm. written, musical, and or dramatic. Invention, we moved some stuff around. We moved the piece about computers. This is Chuck's thing. He thought things fit better in there.
Okay.
We kept in a few things that I wasn't sure why we had taken them out. We kept in the reference to the Title 35. I mean, I don't care if we keep that, but
okay.
We kept that in. And we crossed out instructional technology, as you had.
Okay.
I'm going to go through the things that we accepted, and then I'll go through the stuff that we changed.
Okay.
University support. Well, okay. We did take out some of the language, I think, that you've taken out. But, okay. So under works, we restored. Well, I said we were just going to go through the stuff we agreed on. So we kept the basic structure of this the way it's always been.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't change any of the language. And under university supported efforts, I think we adopted your language there. We took out. Okay. We didn't adopt your language exactly. We said if the work, instead of a work created with the use of unity, I said if a work was made, not made. So we just flipped the grammar there. But we took
is that in, what line is that? I'm sorry, Sharon.
72. Yeah.
72, okay.
Mm-hmm. But we took out all the stuff about technical support and maintains all that stuff. Let's see, exceptions. Yeah, I think we took out the stuff, the books, articles, electronic media, all that stuff. Works developed about and used for, okay. We adopted last week, last time, you had wanted to include the FSU version of what appreciable support meant.
Yes.
And we went back and looked at it, and we put it in here. Mm-hmm. So because we're talking about works developed without the use of appreciable university support, and so we just pulled their language verbatim and stuck it in here.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to skip this piece right now for a minute. E, down to disclosure university review. I think we pretty much adopted your language there. Okay, we kept the stuff about outside activity, but we shortened it up and put it in like one bullet point, which I'll go over a little bit later.
Can you use section number 7 getting lost?
I'm sorry. I'm apologizing.
Or just line numbers.
Yeah, line 140.
Line 140, got it.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, I was totally still on the previous page.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah. So you can see what we did there. Mm-hmm. And instead of all those numbers and bullet points, we just put it in a paragraph.
Okay.
And at the end, we adopted your language on transfer of copyright 161 through 169. You had at the end of the article, we thought, well, if it's talking about copyright, it makes sense to put it in this section where the copyright is. We're dealing with copyright. So now we're into inventions. Okay. Again, I don't think either of us changed much in inventions.
No, we.
So that's pretty much the old language. And again, where you had stricken outside activity, we kept it, but we just put it in a paragraph in line 202, basically, and following. Okay.
So it's just research now. It's not research and commercialization.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
We kept all the changes from 120 days to 90 days all the way through this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there are any other changes. Okay. Let's see where I am here. I get... Because the lines are different because we added some stuff, but let's see, I'm trying to figure out. Okay, I think the next real change, let me look at. Okay. In your version on line 206, you struck the paren 6. We restored it in 280, on line 280. On line 286 in our version, paren 7, you had made this mutual, and we restored it to the way it was, and I want to have Sandra explain why. This is 286.
286 in terms of... Okay.
So, if in all the intellectual property at various stages from the beginning, like at the disclosure stage, whether is it going to be pursued, you know, with outside counsel through patenting or other protection resources being committed that way, or even if it already started and then somewhere down the line, depending in the prosecution, sometimes the decisions are made not to continue anymore. So the university can't really have an obligation to not defeat the interest because that changes throughout. Sometimes in the beginning the decision is made not to proceed with it. So it's all evaluated, you know, on a variety. How broad is the right? How patentable? How commercializable? Et cetera, et cetera. Is it worth, you know, there has to be like a balancing to what things are the resources going to be directed to.
Mm-hmm.
So even in the beginning, for sure, and then even sometimes once it starts, the decision is made, okay, well, now we're going to drop this one. We're not going to renew it. We're not going to whatnot. So that's really the basis.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. And I think that's pretty much it in terms of where we have agreed. So I'll go back and we'll talk about the places where we are apart.
Okay.
Because that's really what we're going to have to focus on. Mm-hmm. All right, so starting at the beginning, and I know I'm probably confusing everybody, but... Okay.
Sherry, if you just want to talk about your proposal, that's fine.
Yeah.
We can go back and
yeah,
reference.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
And this is a really useful comparison you want to make?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Just far apart.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do at this point. Okay, mm-hmm. So the first big change to ours is on line 40. Mm-hmm. We added in the definition section a definition of online courses,
mm-hmm.
because when you say that, people just think,
huh?
Yeah.
Exactly. No.
We have a million different varieties of online courses.
And
so
they expand.
They expand.
Semester. Expand and contract, so mm-hmm. yes.
Yes, they
okay.
do. In D, university support, I added, or we added, course release as a form of university support.
Okay.
I don't know why we've never thought about that before, but that is
mm-hmm.
a form
mm-hmm.
of support.
Yeah.
I did have a question with online courses. Is this definition only meant to be specific to this article, or would this definition apply to the entire agreement?
Why would it, I mean, what's the, where would you apply it elsewhere?
Probably in Article 9 when you're talking about assignments,
mm-hmm.
If you're talking about conflict of interest and teaching perhaps in other universities and different modalities. So I was just curious what the intention of the language to be specific to this article.
Well, I was thinking in terms of this article, but I think we would probably put it in the definition section in the back of the book, because if you're talking about online courses, it's going to be the same wherever you're referring to it in the
mm-hmm.
book. So,
okay.
I mean, unless there's a reason that we would not want to do that in some place,
mm-hmm.
but okay, so.
Yeah, so just from a legal standpoint, John,
mm-hmm.
unless we put that definition in the definition
yeah,
section,
it
would only apply to this section.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because if you
yes.
go to line
I
if you go to line 9,
right.
Line 9 says these definitions apply in this article.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for
yeah,
the I was just wondering if we needed to
yeah,
have want, like
you,
a tagline
if you
want to
have
at
a
the,
yeah,
if
no,
you want to use
have,
it as a
okay.
general
okay.
definition, we have to put in definition.
As far as I can tell, though, online courses is only used in lines 92 to 100 in that section on online courses.
Probably,
correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
So, and starting in 92, we added, after the exceptions piece, we added another section D.
Correct.
Online courses. And, you know, I think we knew that this was going to be an issue between us because, so we pulled this language, I mean, like you, we steal from everybody else.
No, we're inspired by
inspired by everybody else.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
So this language comes, it's
yes.
sort of a mix from FSU and FIU. So, but
okay.
We said employees who develop or substantially revise instructional materials for an online course without university support, as we've defined it,
mm-hmm.
or without the use of UCF online instructional design services, maintain full ownership of the course.
Mm-hmm.
Employees who develop or substantially revise an online course without university support, but with the use of UCF online instructional design services, maintain ownership of the course, but they grant us a license to continued internal use of the course material for instructional purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And employees who develop or substantially revive an online course, whether they have university support or don't have university support, when they terminate their employment,
mm-hmm.
they maintain ownership. They
mm-hmm.
can take it and use it someplace else, but we have the right to still use it for our internal purposes, for
okay.
instructional stuff.
Well, I have a question about
sure.
point two.
Mm-hmm.
So if that instructor were to leave the university,
mm-hmm.
that content would be the university's?
Well, basically a copy would stay here, and then, but you could still take it. So essentially it becomes two works at that point, because the university would basically have a copy of it, but then you would still be able to take your copy and continue to make changes to it.
Yeah.
And then the university would continue to use or make changes to the copy that they have. So that's how the language is written, right, Sherry?
Yes. Okay. Now, I'm not going to get into super legalities.
No. I'm not.
Line 94.
Mm-hmm.
95. Without the use of online instructional design services, you're adding that to the university's abort. I've designed web courses, for instance, where the only use of university instructional design support services was that they made me a logo to put a this course mm-hmm. banner.
Right.
Say, this is the name of the course. Does that mean the entire course?
Mason, in 93, it says substantial. So
yeah.
That's
mm-hmm.
The
word.
So mm-hmm. yeah, I think at this point, let Sherry explain at this point, and then we'll go back and we'll kind of pool our questions.
Yeah, we can. I mean, you know, this language is...
Mm-hmm. No, and you said it was a combination of FSU and FIU and your own inspiration?
more or less, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Or our. I'm not claiming exclusive ownership of this.
Okay.
We can... There's certain principles that are important to us, but the language is always, you know...
Yeah.
Yep. No,
okay. And... I don't think that there's any other major stuff that we added or changed, except that we did not agree at this point to put in the specific division of proceeds and developing an invention.
Is there a specific reason, just disagree with having that in the contract, or
Sandra?
Well, right now it's not in here, so it's in the Research Foundation policy. So it hasn't changed since I don't know that it's changed since it began, except that there was a second clarification added with respect to distribution of copyright, because initially it was only referring to patents.
Correct.
So presently, that would be the Research Foundation board, I suppose, that would be making those decisions, or, you know, however it's going to go all the way through for authorization. So if we put it in here, that's kind of shifting that. That's not a legal decision. That's really a business decision relative
to the
university.
Do you know who's on the board for the Research Foundation?
Mm-hmm. So Dr. Kolonoff is the president of the Research Foundation.
Okay.
And the board members include a variety from industry. They're appointed they're appointed by some, there's a trustee representative, there's somebody that's appointed through the College of Medicine. I don't have their names to tell you off the top of my head.
Oh, that's fine. I was just curious of the general makeup, not the
individual. Yeah, they're all external to UCF.
Okay. Thanks.
Hmm. For the most part, yeah.
Thank you. So.
See, that's our.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much for your hard work. We'll take a caucus, and then do you want us to come get you in general counsel? So probably about.
Just.
20, 25, 30 minutes, maybe.
Fine.
Sounds good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
With the recordings.
You can.
Yes.
Their list is if you.
Mother and I were good friends. She died recently, and I was going to. November 26th.
Oh, something happened.
No, my daughter, she doesn't like him, so I guess I'll leave him.
Something's going on with this thingy.
I found out right away. But we always had a Christmas tradition. We always went to the Bach Festival Christmas concert together.
Oh,
nice.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
So who's going to just do that?
Mm-hmm.
So who's going to come for this year?
I'm I don't know yet. I may turn my tickets in. I don't know. Might be too sad to go without.
I'm available.
I'm with you. Sounds fantastic. Yeah. Hmm? The Bach Christmas concert?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. It's here in Orlando?
Yeah.
Yes. And we're back on.
We're back on. Oh, okay.
We're back on. Come on, so.
Oh, boy.
So, yes, sorry. It's the punny side of the. It's the punny side of the semester.
Well, I'm really sorry for him. They just had their first grandchild in January. So I'm sure they were thinking they were going to have a great Christmas. You know? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you know, she was just my friend, but yes, it's sad, but it's really sad for him. That's what I was thinking. I wander over and, I mean, I sent a card, but I, anyway. Well,
for us, you're the one who's in the room right now.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So thank you very much for going over the proposal. We've reviewed it and we're very happy that we found a lot of common ground on this proposal. As we all know, it's
this one's you open it,
kick the can down the road long enough, and yes.
Yep.
So we reviewed the proposal. We had a few suggestions to see if you would be amenable to it. Going on line 11, I noticed that you didn't pick up our change for striking out "or maybe subject." On line 11, that was in our first proposal. Of basically, we want the definition of work of it's something that is subject to copyright, and this is that it's subject to copyright or it may be subject to copyright. So just tightening up the definition of work.
Oh, okay. That is, or you want it to be just that is subject to copyright.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Sandra has an objection. That doesn't bother me.
Excuse me. Because we are actually referring back to Title 17 with that. I don't think we had any objections to keeping in Title 35. and then going down to, we don't have any objections to the online courses definition. That's, I think in the university support areas where we had a few questions, because it is referenced quite a bit, and then we read the FSU language and on how that's set up and on when we're looking back into like line 81 through 88. So I think we had the suggestion, number one, to maybe instead of non-incidental, maybe just use appreciable. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Just to keep it consistent, we've had it in other. I don't think that was in our previous proposal, but just kind of rereading everything to do that. And we were.
What line is that? I'm sorry.
That's on line 44.
44.
Instead of non-incidental, just using appreciable, just to more of a grammar change.
Yeah, make it consistent throughout.
Made. Going down to, I don't think we have any objection to 64, in terms of, because that's the language from FSU. Let me go back up to 55. So I know in our previous proposal we struck the language about the documentation, and then you're saying if requested. So for example, in this particular language on 55, who would be requesting it? Would it be a department chair? Would it be Office of Research? Would it be,
depending on the circumstances, maybe maybe either. I don't know. Could be compliance. Mm-hmm. Could be a variety of reasons, depending on what led to the inquiry.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That was kind of like my question with that one, is if mm-hmm.
I don't think that we would. I mean, I think that it would be unusual for that to be a request, but you know, we do have issues where, you know, sometimes I can think of one at the moment with compliance, where mm-hmm. they get a mm-hmm. one of those phone things, you know, or integrity line complaints,
right?
And
they
need to say okay.
Well, I was thinking much more on a more localized level. For example, you know, when we're talking about the exceptions with the with the works, you know, for instance, if I design something that's an independent effort, my chair comes over and says, okay, I want you to give it to X, Y, and Z, and I say no, and then would the chair be able to request, okay, then prove that you did it on your own? Mm-hmm. I think that's a much more, that's why we kind of struck the language in the first place, because it's just a line, but then there's a whole big process behind that line of who it does. But if it's just, you know, if it's just in the contract, okay, it's, you know, this is independently created effort, and then if they say no, then okay, well, then you're defying me, and we'll go to discipline, or we'll file a grievance, and then kind of that process would take over. The process is already built into the contract. So that's kind of the rationale behind striking that line in our proposal in the first place. Mm-hmm. Is that there's other mechanisms to
think about that, but I see your point.
Okay, going down to 981. So yes, we saw that this is the FSOU language. Thank you very much. I think we had a suggestion in our first proposal about line 83, when it starts talking about for university support to be appreciable, mm-hmm. to kind of bring that back into the definition of university support. Because right now we're only talking about that in one specific section, and I know that's how FSU had it, but kind of bringing that back to the definition so we don't have to kind of keep restating it throughout the contract. So it's more of a housekeeping suggestion with that. Yeah, we don't have any problems with the language itself. I think it's just kind of more organization. Thank you for telling us about the FIU language. We had an opportunity to quickly review it. And this kind of gets back into the university support thing. With one and two, especially two, two seems a little contradictory. The first part talks about doing stuff without university support. Mm-hmm. And then you're talking about university support in the second half. So it's kind of...
Well, I think when we think about university support, we're looking at that definition in 18.2, which is basically...
The personnel and...
Facilities, equipment, course release students. I mean, we're thinking in terms of... I suppose we could just change the definition slightly, but we're thinking in terms of... more, I think traditionally when you're talking about university support, you're talking about providing release time or payment to develop a course, which is sort of like...
That's completely different than offering offering personnel versus not direct compensation, but kind of indirect compensation to the employee versus a change of assignment or stipends. Or
I mean, if you can suggest some different language, I'm open to it. I mean,
okay.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but I was just kind of thinking, it's like, well, with, you know, kind of like you've got the first part of the sentence, and then the second part seems a little contradictory from our perspective, but we're willing to definitely work on language.
Okay.
With that, I did have a question on number three.
Mm-hmm.
So we're saying employees who develop or substantially revise an online course, whether it's under one or two. So whether if you had support or you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, if you didn't have support, then it's the work of the employee.
Yes. Well, it's always the work of the employee.
Correct. But we're saying, so for instance, like when we're talking about online courses, and we're also, when we're talking about the D section,
yeah.
And then we're going back up to number two on line 72.
Mm-hmm.
Those are essentially the same thing, because we're providing works solely for the use of instruction,
mm-hmm.
regardless of the modality. And I think that's, in our first proposal, we didn't really specify the modality.
Yeah, and I had actually intended to strike that language, but it ended up in there by mistake. But yeah.
Okay.
Which so examples of the in D2
mm-hmm.
examples of such works? Because I don't think that we would ever claim. I don't like just including things like textbook, lab manuals. I think that's extraneous, and I don't think we need to put all that stuff in there.
Oh, you're talking on line 81.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Right, but I was thinking of when it, right,
yeah.
when it comes to line, going down to back down to line 101,
mm-hmm.
an employee people who don't use university support, so that's theirs, that's
mm-hmm.
completely theirs.
It's theirs,
and then
mm-hmm. and we don't even claim a right to use it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what three says.
Until they leave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think we have the authority to sign over a copyright to you in
You're not assigning copyright.
They own
the copyright.
Right, right. The individual faculty, the
mm-hmm.
Us as a certified bargaining agent, we don't own the copyright. So we can't come to an agreement that tells our members to sign over their copyright to the university.
But they're not signing their copyright to the university.
No, but we're entering into a licensing agreement over something we don't own a copyright over. Because it's a licensing agreement that you continue to use the materials after that they left the university.
I understand John's point. We could talk about the caucus.
Okay.
Okay. So that's the under if the university is claiming ownership over it, then the university of course has it can be the inverse, for
yeah.
example. If the university is claiming ownership over it, okay, we'll continue to use it and we'll let you have a copy
okay,
to
so
go.
We would claim ownership and then give them a license to use it
mm-hmm.
correct
in perpetuity.
Right. It would be
and
yeah,
free.
Yeah, yeah. It would be the inverse.
The inverse.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
Yes. So I think that's.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
For instance, like I have the virtual reality project, right? What if Microsoft? Microsoft buys it, and then I want to use it for my classes. Let's say I'm somewhere else. Now I got to pay. You know, like so. Having
yeah.
A license.
Having the license.
Yeah,
on,
exactly.
It's like
I've seen that in some.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a to-go order. You know.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Can
you can take it to go.
I can take my own invention, yes.
to go. So that's, I think that was the kind of the hesitation with number three.
Mm-hmm.
And then with number two, do we even need number two? If we have...
It's 96 to 90.
Like the 96 to 99?
The distinction it's making is with the use of UCF online instructional design services, yes? Which
so
should be covered under the without university support to be appreciable resources available to everybody.
Because basically we've got with the online courses with the exception. So for instance, you own it,
mm-hmm.
you know, number one, and then if it is using substantial resources, it goes back to its university supported effort, the university owns it. That's already established earlier in the definitions under the university-supported efforts. See, that's kind of like the distinction I was making between just having the flat language, which applies to instruction, regardless mm-hmm. of the modality.
Right.
And then, because then we get kind of down the rabbit hole away from some of our definitions. I think, you know, if it's the university, without university support, but with university support, I think that's kind of the contradiction.
All right, we'll look at that.
Of the language. Like I said, we're not opposed to having the language in the contract. It's just
as I said, the yeah. principle is what's important to
Correct.
Us. We can always work
Correct.
On language.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So we didn't have any other objections until we read 142. And the corresponding language in 202 with the invention side,
mm-hmm.
and we're just still curious of we still have 19. Why does this language exist in this article?
Because all 19 says is you have to fill out a conflict of interest report, but it doesn't give you any kind of it doesn't flesh out how that applies. And I think what we're trying to do is say, okay, if you're doing this and you're trying and you've got intellectual property involved, particularly if you're working with an outside entity,
mm-hmm.
that they need to be aware of
mm-hmm.
of what our
mm-hmm.
processes are, and that they don't
mm-hmm.
they can't just come in and own this stuff. But 19 doesn't say any of that. If you want to move this to 19, we could.
Right, but my curious is so 19 says you have to disclose. So
yeah.
I disclose in the disclosure process, I disclose that, okay, yes, I'm working with this outside entity, and then the conversation happens within the 19 process. In the Article 19, the conflict of interest process, okay, yes, I'm working, I'm developing this. And then in that conflict of interest process, that's when you talk about intellectual property. That's, I think, when, that's why we're looking at this language as kind of extemporaneous, because it's like, okay, 19 says you have to disclose, but it just says, you know, it doesn't say you have to disclose, it doesn't specify, but it's all encompassing. So 19 says, if you're working with an outside company, I hit yes. Okay, then the question is, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
I think, isn't the concern, though, that when someone accepts initial employment and maybe even enters into a contract for employment,
mm-hmm.
even maybe during a period of time in which they're not actively employed with the university, like over the summer, and they sign something that says, whatever work or invention I produce is going to be the owned by the employer.
Mm-hmm.
And then the employer, even though it may be something that was done with appreciable support by the university, and so 80 or 90% of the work is done through the research at the university, they go into a lab, some final twist is done on it, and then that company,
mm-hmm.
the secondary employer, asserts ownership over the invention. Isn't that the problem?
Right, but that, Mike, in your example, that already violates the existing language in the contract.
Yeah, I know, but I think
And then
we're
the
not
university can take legal action against the outside employer as well.
You're
that's
not in
the
privity
problem.
With the outside employer, that's really, so that's
yeah.
the challenge.
Okay.
And so if the...
So you're basically saying that you want, if you engage in outside activity, to make it clear up front what the regulations and are
yeah,
at the
yeah,
at
because,
the institution.
We want the outside entity
to know
up front.
Okay.
I'm not an intellectual property
can,
person, but I think there's
yeah.
case law that says that if somebody...
we're not
from a university,
you,
right?
Them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Somebody,
right.
I hire you. I don't know what you're working on at UCF. I don't
right.
know what UCF's regulations are. I don't know anything about
mm-hmm.
that. I don't care. But you just show up in my lab. I'm paying you,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden, a month, 6 weeks into it, something comes into being, and I say, okay, great. You just invented that thing for me, and I own it. I think the case law is, I have pretty good standing to say I own it.
For copyright, for sure, because mm-hmm. work for hire would be
right.
work for hire
yes.
for them. They mm-hmm. would take that position. So for inventions, we have already have an assignment up front,
mm-hmm.
but we don't have that for copyright.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not so much.
It's protecting, I think, mm-hmm. the faculty member and the university.
Okay.
And
if you want to move it to 19, but mm-hmm. if that's where you think it's more appropriate, but I think it needs to be in there somewhere.
Or however it's written, I think what we're just trying to do is put the secondary employer on notice
right.
that we have
some
an interest.
Some schools ask to see the agreements, the consulting. We don't want that. Mm-hmm.
So would going to 142 and ending the sentence at 144 where it says to the outside employer, would that accomplish what your goal is to just notify the outside employer of, hey, these are the rules and regulations here at UCF?
Again, I don't know the answer to this, so I'm a lowly laborer.
Prior to
but
the agreement,
yeah.
if you enter into an agreement, if the faculty member enters into a written agreement with the company, I think the requirement that the information is shared prior to that or prior to when the performance
okay.
begins.
Because it seems like it's a little, once you get past, like, I understand the concept and it says, yes, it shall furnish a copy of this, but then afterwards, it just gets a little. And I understand you tried to synthesize
of
like
dense.
A page and a half
yeah.
into that, but hearing now the rationale for it to just, I think it would just be like almost like simpler language in terms of, because you get into prior to consulting and then if this and then that and then however and
all right,
kind of
we will look at that.
Maybe just I think explaining it now, I think it's basically just, hey, here's the regs, you know, before I start doing anything with you, here are the regs. If that's what the goal of the language is, I think we can come into some sort of agreement on that.
Because it's
shorten it even further.
We're just trying to avoid litigation in that triangle of interests.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It sounded like you're also trying to avoid having to read every single contract.
Well, we're not party to those contracts, so we
right.
don't
yeah.
want
yeah.
to.
Right.
Yeah.
So
the line 202 to 204 saying any contract must be approved in writing by the university's representative, that sort of makes
if,
you have
if
to
if rights
right?
to university.
I'm just saying if you don't want to have to do that,
right.
what clause does
right.
it have to fit with that?
Well,
yeah.
that requirement, so in your in the process of that you described for outside activity,
yes.
there is in that process a mechanism where if the engagement with the outside party does want to involve a transfer of intellectual property,
right.
that can be worked out up front. That's
right.
what this is referring to, this requirement. So there's, you know, certain documents that are approved, whatnot, through the chain here. Sure, for this period of time, for this topic, subject matter,
mm-hmm.
we'll step back, even if it's something
mm-hmm.
that we would clearly otherwise own.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is
for. Okay, so
but is that in the? So when you go on and do your conflict of interest report,
mm-hmm.
just is that in the process? Because you know my process is so simple; I don't do any of this stuff, so I just get approved. But I mean,
I don't know either. I only see it after somebody
right.
has already filled
yeah,
out and wants
maybe.
The request.
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know that everybody sees.
So I'm just trying to both clarify our bargaining unit's responsibilities
sure.
of because you know there's the bargaining unit member's responsibility and then okay university take it from here if you want to like you said enter into some other sort of agreement or something so I think what I'm hearing is that the employee would basically just notify or would notify the employer of okay here are the intellectual property
rights
at the university,
yeah.
and then
yeah.
basically that would be the end of the of our employees' responsibilities.
Well, so what happens then, not infrequently, is when they give the
right.
rules,
right.
then the employer is like, oh, okay, well, actually, we want this thing. So
right.
then, now you know, there's a requirement the employee waived. So then the employee comes back to follow the process of seeking that waiver.
Can I just ask for a little clarification? So this is for people who are maybe coming from like Lockheed Martin sort of thing, mm-hmm. and they come in to UCF to work as an engineer? Well, anywhere. I'm just saying example. Could you give us like a live example?
It's kind of the opposite of where around. It would be someone from here going
right.
There.
Right.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah. It's not Lockheed.
So again, this
is more than
yeah. Stop me if I'm making giving a bad example. But let's say someone's a physicist at the mag lab at mm-hmm. Florida State University, and they've worked there in research for 10 years, and they take a sabbatical mm-hmm. and they go on a sabbatical to a private entity, and they're part of the reason why they're going on the sabbatical is they have some ideas for the application of their research that they've mm-hmm. been working on for the last 10 years. And they're going to get paid on their sabbatical, so something by the lab. So they go into the lab, and the lab says, here's all the stuff you have to sign. You're now going to be an employee. You're going to receive compensation. So you have to have our handbook, and you have to have this, and you have to have mm-hmm. that. You're signing all these documents.
Mm-hmm. Right.
One of the documents says any work that you do while you're here in our lab is wholly owned by the private company, mm-hmm. including anything that you brought with you from the university. So somebody signs it,
okay.
And then that all comes to light, because when you go to patent or copyright something, then somebody says, wait, that's mine. And then the university gets to say, well, we didn't approve that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Am I following that correctly?
So that's what this language is for.
All except the sabbatical part. Say if like you're working over the summer and not getting compensated by the university, because there's separate rules activity for sabbatical.
Yeah.
But,
let's say you go off to a lab over the summer and you sign something, and embedded in that is that you're waiving all of your work, including what you did at the university. Then it gives the university the opportunity to say, well, we didn't approve that transfer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is that about right?
Essentially.
Okay. Okay. Well,
that's a labor lawyer.
Right.
Okay. We'll also
examine that one further, and maybe we can see if that in that context if this language meets what you're proposing.
Yeah, like in that context, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Okay.
Can I ask a labor lawyer question about the way that you're objective on 210?
210.
How would normally
work? 210.
Yes.
You do not have the right to waive university rights, and the waiver is deemed rejected as opposed to void or inapplicable or something. Rejected seems like an after the fact.
So it would be. It would be similar to, let's say, any contract that is a university contract that somebody would execute who doesn't have signature authority.
Mm-hmm.
So they've executed it, but they didn't have the authorization to execute that. So we would consider it void.
Okay, so void would be a better word.
Is void a better word than rejected, if that's what you're trying to do? Or is rejected a technical term that covers that better?
I mean,
I'm just asking about the term that lawyers can...
I understand what you're saying.
As a main, does reject and void mean the same thing in lawyer talk? Or legalese?
I don't know if it's a term of art or not. But.
I don't have a problem with void, but...
Okay.
I did have another.
The last thing? Yeah.
Yeah, the last thing, given where the the divisions of proceeds lives within the institution, or perhaps even outside the institution, I think we, our position is insisting it has to be in the contract. Like we said, just capturing current practice.
Mm-hmm.
Of whatever it is currently, as of today, having that language in the contract. And also model, you know, looking at FSU, looking at UF, looking at FIU, looking at USF, it's something in the contract. Because
mm-hmm.
it is concerning to us where this document lives in a direct service organization that the Board of Trustees does not have full control over.
They do control them.
They do
direct
control?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Right, but the people on the board that you have identified are not all board members of the Board of Trustees.
No, they're not, but the Board of Trustees controls all the DSOs.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but just to kind of bring it, because it is a, you know, it is meant to be a policy, mm-hmm. and I know we've had disagreements over the past of what constitutes a university policy, of where that should live. And if it was at policies.ucf.edu, I think we wouldn't have much of a...
I think it was just saying, since it's a university policy, so that people can find it much more easier. I mean,
yes.
We did Google it, but we had to go through a couple little channels to actually find it.
So.
So something a little bit available more easily.
Does it have an official policy number that can be referred to?
I don't think so.
Oh, well, actually, I'm sorry.
And now.
Yeah, no. I think the one thing we talked about being appreciable, and just making sure that appreciable is reflected,
consistent.
Is consistent through it, and then on line, I think, 94, as well as appreciable university support,
mm-hmm.
Just kind of making it consistent throughout.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you all very
Thank
much.
You.
Thank you.
I think we are much closer.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
I completely agree.
Maybe be able to get this
bringing this into the 21st century.
Yes.
Yay. Yeah, I mean, you know, we don't.
Well, fortunately,
they used to.
Mm-hmm.
That
so
and,
yeah.
and
to me, it's kind of sad. I like the old way, but
I still do most of my teaching the old way for that very reason.
Yeah. But then I'm a Luddite. What can I say?
I just like to. Being in a room full of smart people talking about interesting stuff, that's fun, and doing it online just takes so much of that fun away.
It's different fun, Mason. It's different fun.
No, it's better than people choose to do it that way. I just prefer not myself.
No, it's we have the ability to disagree, and that's okay. That's
Did you
respected.
Have one more thing, or we're set?
I think the question is
that was the last thing. Okay.
Yeah, and then I think the last thing I think is where do we go from here? Because it's noon and if we wanted to try and continue today or if we wanted to try and do something even early next week possibly. Or do we schedule in January?
Can I get back to you on that?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I need to look at what we're how much time between the change, and I'm going to have to talk to some other people about some of this. So
okay.
I mean, not mostly about the policy piece at the end, but
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe we could get something done next week, or maybe we do it early in January.
Okay.
Because
I mean, I think we're close enough.
Yes.
We're not looking
we're
at multiple sessions.
No. I think, you know, based off of the progress that we've made so far. You know,
mm-hmm.
an additional session if we wanted to make it maybe a little longer, just that we build in that time that day.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe 3 hours.
Maybe 3 to 4 at the most, just that we have time if we need to confer with other individuals so we don't have to keep scheduling.
It might be better to think about a January date, just because
stuff
is getting so jammed up.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
or
people are starting to take off.
What you're thinking about doing. In advance enough that we can think about the language.
Yeah.
So January date. Okay, cool. So
and
that's
we'll be in
Briannis and Charlie will be in charge.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you guys.
Awesome. Right. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Have a good holiday.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good holiday.
I think there's ways, you know, too, to you're right, you're not putting outside of your questions about a language or something that can facilitate between now and official meetings.
Yeah. I think so too.
Yep.
I think so. The other thing too, this is fantastic. This could we continue? I know it's a waste of paper, but
no,
could we continue with the large? Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Just because my eyes, I did not what they used to be either. So
I think it's great.
Yeah,
I really like. Yes.
I like this just for purposes.
The big type.
Big type.
Don't go excessive, but it's kind of nice to have things that are related to one another in the same view. You know, flip back. Two pages because things are now spread over several pages. But this 14 word is good.
Yeah, it's good.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
all right.
Thank
you,
everybody.
Guys.
Thank
you
very
much.
And happy holidays to everybody.
Yes,
happy
holidays.
You have a great time.
Enjoy the nap.
What's that?
So hope everybody had a great time and lots of rest and fun.
Is it a full
meet with family and children?